Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our broadcast today. I'm glad you could join us, and I hope and pray that as we study the Scriptures, the Bible, that the Lord will bless you in this study and give me the right words to say from His Word. I know if I preach from His Word, I'll have the right words. But the message today will be taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I started this message last week, and so this is part two, and then I'll conclude it today. It's entitled, Motivated by Mercy. Motivated by Mercy. And what I'm talking about is the motivation of Christian obedience, that which drives us. You know, a lot of times in the Bible, it'll speak of God from His Word testing the reins of people, R-E-I-N-S, the reins. And of course, you know, if you think about a rein, you think about a bridle on a horse. The rein, you know, is what tells the horse to go right, to go left, and all of that. And the reins has to do with the heart motives of a people. What drives you to obedience, to try to be a good person, to try, if you're a believer, to try to be like Christ. That's the ultimate for a believer, isn't it? I want to be like Christ. The Bible talks about how we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. And that's what predestination is all about. And of course, we know God's predestinating purpose is to glorify Himself in the salvation of His people, sinners saved by grace, based upon the blood, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all of grace. And this is, it's all by God's mercy. And that's what Paul writes here in chapter 12 of Romans, verse 1. He says, I beseech you, or I beg you, therefore. What is that therefore? Therefore, he's referring back to everything that he had written from Romans 1 up to Romans 11 concerning how God saves sinners by His grace, conditioned on Christ. Not conditioned on you, not conditioned on me, but conditioned on Christ. And Christ did all that God required to ensure the salvation and final glory of all of His people, the ones who God gave Him before the foundation of the world. He called them His sheep, called them His church, the redeemed ones, the called out ones. And so the death of Christ is not just a blanket pardon that is left up to the volition of a sinner as to whether or not he wants it or not. By nature, none of us want it. The Scripture says that. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The preaching of the gospel is foolishness to them who believe not. So it is God who gives us a new heart in the new birth and makes us willing in the day of His power to receive Christ. But all of salvation, salvation in its beginning, and listen to me, salvation in its continuation, and salvation in its final culmination in glory, is all conditioned on Christ and made sure in Christ. He's the surety of His people. That means all of their sins, all the sins of God's chosen people were imputed, charged, accounted, credited to Christ. That's why He went to the cross. That's why He had to die. This is God's plan from the very beginning, before this world even began. It's not plan B. It's not a contingency. It's not God saying, well, I tried it by the law, now I'm going to do it through Christ. No, it was always set forth from God in the very beginning, in the everlasting covenant, is that Christ would come and do for His people what they cannot do for themselves. And that is establish a perfect righteousness that would enable God to be just and justify them. And so salvation in its beginning is all conditioned on Christ. Salvation in its continuation. These people who say, well, you can be saved and lost again, you know why they say that? Because they believe that at least the continuation of salvation is conditioned on what they do. That's legalism. That's a false gospel. God saves us by His grace. He preserves us by His grace. And then He'll bring us to glory by His grace. It's all of grace. Somebody says, well, then what about people who are Christians and then who leave the gospel, leave the church? My friend, they were never Christians to begin with. And their leaving is what manifested that, made that known. In 1 John chapter 2, he talks about the Lord, through the Apostle John, talks about that, where they went out from us, but they were never of us. Had they been of us, they would have no doubt continued, remained with us. But they went out from us, that it might be known. Well, that grace that reigns through righteousness, you can read about that in Romans 5:21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That grace that reigns through righteousness, that mercy of that God shows towards His people in Christ, that's the motivation for obedience. And look back at Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, based upon this, brethren, talking to believers, by the mercies of God. I'm encouraging you, he says. I'm trying to inspire you, trying to guide you to present your bodies, your whole person. That's what that means. It's your whole person. It's not just the outward man, but the inward man. The inward man is the heart. And if God has given you a new heart, you'll understand this. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. And I brought this out last week. That's the same as what Christ said. Take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. We all, even believers, have a sinful human nature that kicks and wars against the Spirit of God who indwells us to motivate us to obedience. The flesh, that's what that's called. The flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. It's a warfare. And so we have to war. We have to engage ourselves in this war to present our whole persons as that which, to the things that honor, obey, that praise God, and not self. And so in my sinful self, you see, I have sinful desires, but I have to deny those. Now, I cannot do it perfectly. I cannot be perfect in my obedience. Even our prayers, the prayers of a believer, they are accepted by God through Christ, the great high priest, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness. That's what I am. And that's my acceptance before God. So present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, and I brought this out last week, not in order to be holy, but because you already are holy in Christ. You're set apart in Him by the grace of God, by the mercies of God, acceptable unto God in the Beloved, who is Jesus Christ. Do you realize that it's not my prayers that make me acceptable to God? It's not my works. It's not my giving. It's not my preaching that makes me acceptable to God. It's Christ. There's a great example of that in Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount, where Christ in verse 21, when he said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. And what is the will of the Father? That we believe on the Son, that we look to Christ and rest in Him, looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. And he said, and they said, well, Lord, Lord, haven't we preached in your name? Haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we done many wonderful works? You see, they did all of that. And he says to them, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. And why is that? Well, somebody says, well, they were not sincere enough. Well, you tell me where it says that in the Bible. And again, tell me this, how sincere must you be? What degree of sincerity is enough? And let me ask you this, do you think you're sincere enough? Are you always sincere? Or even does your sin, we should be sincere people. I don't want to be a hypocrite. But is my sincerity in what I'm doing, is it enough? Now listen to me. Is it enough to equal the perfection of righteousness found in the law, required by the law, but found only in the Lord Jesus Christ? Does my sincerity equal Christ's sincerity? Does my love for God equal His love for God? Does my love for my neighbor equal His? No. It'll always fall short. Over in Psalm 130, in verse 3, the psalmist asked this question. And I believe this is the Psalm of David. A believer. A man after God's own heart. And he says, Lord, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand? Well, not me. I thank God that I have Christ, and I'm washed in His blood, and I'm clothed in His righteousness. That's the mercy of God, you see. And understand this, there's no mercy from God outside of Christ. In salvation, that is. No grace outside of Christ. Well, he says, this is your reasonable service. It's only right and reasonable that a sinner saved by grace, who has been given all of salvation, sure and certain, all the promises of God, which are yea and amen in Christ, 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the inheritance of grace, which is incorruptible and reserved in heaven for me, because I didn't earn it, and it's not conditioned on me, it's all in Christ, and He's my surety, it's only right for me to seek to honor and obey God, even though I cannot do it perfectly. And it's not that where I fail, Christ makes up the difference. No, He is all my salvation. He is all my righteousness before God. It's His righteousness imputed, which God has enabled me to receive by faith. I look to Him. He's the Lord my righteousness. Now look at verse 2. He says, and be not conformed to this world. Now, a true believer who's in conformity with the world, in agreement with the world, in a contract with the world, in a covenant with the world, that is not, that just doesn't wash. That's a contradiction. But now let me give you something to think about. And before we go on in that verse, turn over to Romans chapter 7. And I want to read a passage with you. When you think of the word world, what do you think of? All right, I'm a believer, and I'm not to live like the world or be conformed to the world. Christ told His disciples, you're in the world, but you're not of it. Often in the book of Revelation, it talks about the world or those who are tied to the world. This world is their home. But what do you think of when you hear the word world? Do you think of just the immorality that men and women judge in the world, like the drug addicts, the alcoholics, the pornographers, the robbers, the murderers? Well, I agree with you. That certainly is worldly behavior, and certainly believers are not to be in agreement with those things. Anybody who claims to believe salvation by grace and uses that as an excuse to engage themselves in an immoral way, They don't know the grace of God. The grace of God is not just a doctrine of the head or something we say with our lips. The grace of God is a dynamic power in the heart. And that's why he says it's your reasonable service. So those who use grace as an excuse to sin, they don't know grace. They don't know Christ. They've never been saved. And those who deny grace because they see no motivating principle or power in it, they don't know Christ either. I've had people tell me, say, well, if I believed what you believed, I'd just go out and do what I want to. And I ask them, I said, well, what is it you want to do? You claim to be a Christian. Are you wanting to do something that is totally opposite of that? Well, we have a sinful human nature. We still have the flesh, and it brings up in us sinful desires. But my friend, we have another principle and power of grace that causes us to desire to be like Christ. And that principle is motivated by mercy. It's motivated by grace and love and gratitude, not by legalism or mercenary promises of earned reward. So when you think of the world, yes, if we're believers, we are not to be in conformity with the immorality of this world. We're to stand apart from it. We're to call it what it is. It's sin. We're not to do it self-righteously now, as if we were better in the sense that we earn or deserve any of God's favor, because we don't. It's mercy, but it's still sin. And so we understand it. But now the word world also in the Bible refers to the world of false religion. It refers to the world of works-oriented salvation. Salvation by my works. Listen, think about Cain and Abel. When Abel brought his offering, the blood of the lamb, he was showing forth the grace of God in his own salvation, looking forward to the promised Messiah, which that animal blood typified. When Cain came to worship God based on his works, the fruits of the field that he worked hard for, he was being worldly. You understand that? False religion. People, here's a person who's doing the best they can to keep the Ten Commandments in order to be righteous with God. That's worldliness. Do you understand that? They may call themselves a Christian, but they're worldly. Well, look back at Romans chapter 7 in verse 4. I want to read three verses here that shows the motives of God's people. True believers are motivated by mercy, motivated by the assurance of salvation and the security of salvation based upon the grace of God through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says in verse 4 of Romans 7, wherefore, my brethren, this is not a descriptive of everybody without exception. And people have that in their minds, you know. They go to the passages that talk about blessing, they say, well, that's everybody. And they go to the passages that talk about condemnation, well, that's not me. No. Now listen to me. He says, wherefore, my brethren in the faith, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Now, what is it to be dead to the law? Well, it means the law cannot charge you with sin. You've already died. The penalty's already been paid, in other words. The law cannot even charge you. The law cannot condemn you. Now, do I deserve to be condemned because of my sins? I deserved it and I've earned it. But the law cannot condemn me. Why? Because I'm dead to the law. Now, how did I become dead to the law? How did my penalty, my payment, my sin debt get paid? By my works? No. By my believing? No. Must we believe? Yes. Must we work? Yes, but not for that reason. You see the difference between motivated by legalism and motivated by mercies? How did I become dead to the law? Well, he says it. Underscore this in your Bible. By the body of Christ. Now, what happened to his body on that cross? He died. His humanity. Now he is God in human flesh. He's God-man. And he never stopped being God-man after he took into union with his deity, that perfect sinless humanity. But the death is to be attributed to his humanity. Now, he died in his whole person, and I can't explain that. But it's attributed to his humanity, and believers become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Now, look, in order that, you should be married or united to another. Now, who are we united to if we're believers? Even to him who is raised from the dead. Christ, in his resurrection, that we should what? Bring forth fruit unto God. Now, what is that fruit unto God? It's the fruit of faith. It's the fruit of repentance. It's the fruit of praise and worship and obedience motivated by mercy. And look at verse 5. Now, he says, for when we were in the flesh. Now, believers are not in the flesh, but the flesh is still in believers while on this earth. So, in the flesh means an unbeliever. When we were unbelievers, the motions or the passions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members, our bodies, the human body, to bring forth fruit unto death. The passions of sins, which were stirred up by the law, they did work in our bodies to bring forth what kind of fruit? Fruit unto death. Now think about it. The passions of sins stirred up by the law, I believe, works in one of two ways. It either is apparent in those who are just absolute rebels, who are so rebellious and hateful that they want to break the law. You cross that line, they're going to cross it. The jails are full of people like that. But mainly, the passions of sins which are stirred up by the law is false religion. Getting people to be better, to be good, in order to be saved. And both of those situations bring forth nothing but death, because they all fall short of the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ. When I find the perfection of righteousness in Christ and rest in Him, that's when the motivation of mercy steps in, is sealed in my heart. But look at verse 6. But now we're delivered from the law. My debt's paid. I have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's law. Therefore, I cannot be condemned. That being dead wherein we were held, that is under the law, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Now, the oldness of the letter is legalism. Mercenary promise of earned reward. Newness of the Spirit is motivated by mercy. Now go back to Romans 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to the world, see? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now this being transformed by the renewing of our minds is a continual operation of the grace of God through the Spirit by the Word of God, continually teaching us, continually motivating us, by the mercies of God, motivated by mercy, to learn and grow and to obey and praise God, not in order to make ourselves righteous to be saved, but because we already are. And it's part of the warfare of the flesh and the spirit. I'm in a continual daily warfare that will not cease until I die and go to be with Christ. And he says, this transformation, this transforming, this continual transformation by the renewing of our mind, continually teaching me in the Word of God, continually inspiring me and motivating by the mercies of God. The reason that this is so is that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What he's talking about, how do we prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? We're believers, are sinners saved by grace, and they're trophies of His grace. They're testimonies of His grace. It's like in Matthew 5:16, when it says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now that verse does not teach that I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. That verse does not teach that you're the only Bible some people read. The preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe, because that's in the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not by looking at me. That verse is teaching that the light of the gospel has to shine on us, even our works, to show the glory of God. The light there is not my works. The light is Christ. The light is the gospel of God's grace. And I'll give you an example that I've used on that quite often. If a person sees me do an act of charity, feeding the hungry or giving them clothes or housing them, and they were to come to me and they'd say, Now, Mr. Parker, I know you're a Christian because I saw you do those acts of charity. You know what I want to do and what I will do? I'll look at them, I'll say, Oh no, that's not what makes me a Christian. And then I'll begin to preach the gospel. It's Christ's work. It's His blood, His righteousness, His death, burial, and resurrection. I'm saved by the grace of God and not by that act of charity that I did. I do that because I'm motivated by mercy. I'm not trying to make a show. That's not my witness. My witness is the gospel. And that's what it is to be motivated by mercy. That's what it is to let your light shine before men. That's what it is to be a good and acceptable, to be a proof of the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To be a trophy of His grace. To be a testimony of the grace of God to the world. That my salvation is not based upon my works. Should I be working? I should be working hard. But it's all based upon the grace of God in Christ, motivated by mercy. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.